Thank you for being here today and joining us for worship. And, you know, as Pastor mentioned, there is a spirit of joy here.
Yes, there is.
And I thought for a minute, you know, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen.
But a broken spirit drieth the bones. If you're broken in any way today, if you're broken in any way today, then I'll tell you, you're at the right place, because what is broken can be put back together by the mighty hand of God if you just make yourself available to Him. And so you're here today. Are you available to Him and what He wants you to do? And are you saying, "Speak, Lord Jesus, I'm listening for what you have for me to know"? So it is good to have you here today. We're thankful that the weather has cleared out so that we could come to church. Yesterday, when you looked out, you wondered. I don't know what your thought was, but my thought was, I hope that this weather does not last long and hinder our church services tomorrow. But if it did, we'd just make the best of it. But you know, we want the weather to be good. That helps us to want to get out and do. And so we're glad you're here today and have come together with opportunity to hear God's Word, because His Word will make you anew. His Word will change you. His Word will help you to become what you need to be. And you say, well, what is that? Well, you may not know, but you may find in following His Word that He will lead you into truth, truth that will envelop you and make you and move you even in a different direction that you thought you might be going. Yes. Now, I want to say it's good to have Cameron and Coral here today.
Amen.
And certainly all of you that are here. Janet, we're glad all of you have come together. And any of our visitors, I may not know you, know who you are, but I want you to know we're glad that you came to the house of the Lord this morning. And I want to take you into the New Testament to the book of Philippians, and I want to take you there. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and then I want to read just two verses there. And the title of this message, and it is a scriptural title, by the way, and I'll come back and touch on it when we finally get there and talk about that title just a little bit. But the title of this message is "This One Thing I Do." And it was said by the Apostle Paul here, right here in Philippians. "This one thing I do." And we're going to be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press," notice this, verse 14, "I press toward," that's his direction, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father, thank you for these verses that the Apostle Paul has laid before us. Father, we're inspired by these verses. I'm challenged in these verses, and I want to be able, Lord, to lay out these verses and these thoughts that our people that have gathered together today, as they've come saying, "Lord, what do you have for me in your word?" And so as they are here, I pray that your word will find a direct resting place in their heart, that they'll be different when they leave today, because your word has ministered life and health to all their flesh. Father, I thank you now for all that you're going to do. I thank you for indeed the privilege I have of standing here behind the sacred desk with this challenging opportunity to lay out your word, that it may change people, because your word has a way of changing us. And Lord, I thank you for it. Make us to be exactly what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now I want to talk with you just for a moment about Greek word meanings. Greek word meanings. And I say that since the New Testament was written in Greek, this will help us understand what Paul is saying here when we understand a little bit about some words, some word meanings. And so I want to let you know that I am not a Greek-Hebrew person, really. I just have a Strong's exhaustive concordance of Greek and Hebrew words. And I get into it, and I get interested in word meanings, and I cannot help but dig them out and look at them in the light of what is being said. And so, with that in mind, I want to start here with verse 13, where Paul says, "Brethren." Now, he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ that really have the same focus that he does. Same focus that he does. It's good to know that we have the same focus, and that focus is getting to heaven and learning all we can along the way, and there are others that have the same interest that we have. Now, it'd be sad if we had that interest to a great extent and great desire and looked around and discovered, hey, I'm all alone in my interest. There isn't anybody that feels like I feel. Well, let me tell you, you need not draw that conclusion ever just because you think it to be so. Sometimes people keep quiet about how they feel. And so you need to know that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he goes on to say, "I count not myself to apprehended." Now, the word apprehended is significant here, and it means really to lay hold of something, to lay hold of a direction, to lay hold of a task. He said this, "I count not myself to have apprehended, to lay hold of, or to seize upon, or take possession of." So to lay hold of something is to seize upon it, and then to take possession of it. And he says, "I count myself, not myself to have apprehended." Now, the word, it's really a $5 word in the Greek, and I could make a stab at pronunciation, but again, it says, it's K-A-T-A-M-L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Now, you try to throw that one out. I thought I would not try to do it. I just want you to know it's a $5 Greek word, and it means to lay hold of, to lay hold of. He said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, to lay hold of. So in Philippians 3 here, Paul sees himself, and I'll make it more clear as I go along, but in Philippians 3, Paul sees himself as a runner in the race of life. Did you know that you're a runner in the race of life? And so I just really think I can ask you the first question is, how good a shape are you in for the race? Somebody says, "Oh, I ate too much during the holidays." Well, it's really not physically just running, but sometimes we feel like it is. But in Philippians 3, Paul sees himself as a runner in the race of the race of life. And in verse 14, you really begin to see it when he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize." You get the idea that there's a mark. There's a finish line out there. There's a direction he's going to get to the mark. "I press toward the mark for the prize," which gives the idea of a finish line in the race. And then it really becomes clear. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It really becomes clear in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, because Paul says this to the Corinthian church. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. I'll tell you, we're all running just to finish. You know, you say, well, there is a prize. There's a prize when you step across the finish line. But we're really all in a race just to finish the race. And I have likened the great race to a marathon. We're in a Christian race that is likened unto a marathon, and I won't get so much in that. But he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, get this, so run that ye may obtain. Now, run to obtain, believe it or not, is the same Greek word here in Philippians chapter 3 as the word apprehend. Run to obtain, the same Greek word. When Paul says, he says, I count not myself to apprehend, or that I have apprehended or laid hold of. Run to obtain, run to lay hold of, with a focus to get a hold of it, lay hold of it. So Paul sees himself as a runner in a race, exerting all his strength and pressing on with intense concentration in order to not fall short of the finish line. We all today want to get to the finish line. We are running. Run to obtain. Run to lay hold of. Run to get to the finish line. So, as we run to obtain, you have to know for sure that you're not there yet. You're running. You're not there yet. You have not apprehended, or you have not laid hold of heaven yet. That's where you're headed. You just haven't arrived yet, and that's what Paul is really saying here in verse 13. I count myself, not myself, to have apprehended. That's exactly the way he says it. And I cannot help but feel what Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians. Turn with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. This verse, as I read it, just really jumped out at me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. And I cannot help but that which Paul speaks of. And notice in verse 4, he says, now this is Paul. Paul is speaking here. He had a vision of the glories of heaven and what he was shown. We don't know all of it, but he said in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. If they were speakable, how could he talk about them? They were unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And then in verse 32, he goes on to say, the verse just ahead of that, he goes on to talk about the third heaven. And so the first heaven is the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. The second heaven is that of the stars or the universe. But the third heaven, he was caught up in the third heaven, is called paradise, the home of God, or it is a place where all the departed believers go, and where families, where loved ones are waiting someday, where we just cross over into the third heaven paradise to be with our Lord and see our family again. But I cannot help but feel that this experience gave Paul greater. Now get this, he's running already in a race and hasn't apprehended, but this experience gives him greater determination to finish the race. Now think about it. I like what gives me greater determination to finish the race. I can't help but just think about the times that I've just been able to lose myself in worship and praise unto God and think, oh, to finish the race, to be in heaven. The glories of heaven are so sought after. I have to tell you this. It was last Sunday night, later in the evening, I felt a nudging that I really needed to call Margie Gill. And in calling her, I found that Bert was very low and he was very, very much short for this life, as she talked about him. And as she went on to talk about him not eating, and it's just like he just wouldn't drink, he wouldn't eat. he really was moving along and toward his heavenly home. But then she said, the night before this, and before we talked, she said that she heard a noise in his room, and she went in there and she stopped and looked and she listened, and Bert was singing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Now there was a man that was fastened in his look and in his heart on the things of God. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And I'll tell you, I can't help but think when you hear someone talk about that, and even Bert's focus just before he went on to be with Jesus. And by the way, that evening we talked, he died about 3 o'clock the next morning. But anyhow, his focus was on heaven. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And when we begin to focus on heaven, we can't help but want to just pick up our step a little bit and begin to move a little more authoritatively toward heaven, and a little more focused toward heaven and toward the things of God, because that is where we're heading as runners. Now, let us look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The writer here, believed to be Paul, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about." Now that word "compassed" is an interesting word, because in the Greek it means surrounded by witnesses or encircled by. And so the writer says, "Seeing we also are compassed about with witnesses." Now the witnesses that he's talking about here are the witnesses, men and women of Hebrews chapter 11 in the afore chapter. He's talking about that. You can read a little bit about it. I call that chapter, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter of the Bible, I call it the Hall of Fame chapter, because there are men, women there that were focused on the things of God, and they're people of faith. We must be people of faith to get to heaven. And so the witnesses being referred to, being encircled or surrounded by, are the faith people: Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Abel, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, these people of the Bible. And notice what the writer said about them in Hebrews 11:39. We're backing up just a little to Hebrews chapter 11. This is what he said about this group of faith, people of faith. And he says this about them, Hebrews 11:39, "And these all, we're talking about these people of faith, these all obtained a good report." How? By faith. Let me tell you, faith is of a good report. If you have things of faith you can talk about today, what you're doing is you're giving us a good report, and we need to know that. He said, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, can you imagine to obtain a good report by faith, and they still had not received the promise, but they had a good report? And so I say to you, where were they looking? Where were they looking? Now look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, Hebrews 11, and look at verse 13. It says this about these witnesses. It said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them." How persuaded are you today of the things God offers you in His Word? I'll tell you, if you're persuaded, then you believe them and you hold on to them. "And they were persuaded of them," and it goes a step further, "and embraced them." Now, when you embrace someone, you put your arms around them and hold them close. When you embrace the promises of God, you pull them into your life and say, these promises are what I'm all about. These promises are what I believe, and I embrace them. It says, "and embrace them, and then and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And so I say to you, what were they looking for? What were they looking for in this process of what they were going through? Look at Hebrews 11, 16. Verse 16, Hebrews 11. But now it's talking about these people of faith, these men and women of faith, but now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Their eyes were focused on heavenly things. And if you're running a race today, and you are, going toward heaven with faith and conviction and determination, then I know that you have in mind the heavenlies, that you have in mind the things of heaven. He said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, the last part of that verse, to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so what we do here, I just say to you, what do we see in Paul and his determination? That he has laid hold of this promise that he has not yet received. He has laid hold of it. He has focused on it. He hasn't gotten there yet. It's not apprehended yet, but he's focused on, laid hold on this promise. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. And so Paul then was a man of great determination. You don't have to read very long about Paul's missionary journeys and what he was doing to learn and understand his determination. I hope that some of that determination, when we read about it, rubs off on us and we get as determined as he was. But he was a man of great determination, and I like what the word determination means. When you look at that word, it means a firm or fixed intention to achieve or desired end. A firm and fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Now that's how determined Paul was. He was looking toward the heavens. He was looking in his race of life, the life he was living, and he was looking and determined to stay in the race to heaven. Are you determined to stay in the race to heaven? I hope that you are. I can't help but say, if we went around the auditorium today and asked you, I think we'd get a yes from everybody that would say, I am determined to stay in the race to heaven. Now, he said this in 3:14. Paul said, I press. Now, that word press is dioko, D-E-O-K-O in the Greek, that word press. He said, I press, dioko, toward. He's saying here, the word means to seek after eagerly and earnestly endeavor to acquire what he's pressing toward. I press, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. This thought just for a moment. Throughout our lives, there are all kinds of distractions and temptations, such as, and I'll just throw a few out to you, distractions in life, and we have to say worldly cares rank right at the top. Worldly cares, the things in the world that we really seem to care about and hold to high interest. So worldly cares, some may even say they're in this world to make a mark and become wealthy. Well, wealth is certainly not our goal and should never be our goal. If God blesses us, and you use it rightly. Or it could mean distractions, temptations might center around evil desire, the desires of the flesh, what the flesh wants, what the flesh is seeking. And we have to keep that flesh man under control, because he can get out of control real easy. And so we keep him under subjection. But I want you to notice Mark chapter 4. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Because it says in the parable of the sower some very interesting things. It says some very interesting things. Mark 4, verse 7 says in the parable of the sower, and some fell among thorns. That's the seed of the word of God. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Now, I looked up that word in the Greek, and it really meant to press around one as to almost suffocate it, choke it. And he said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and the thorns just began to suffocate the life out of one that really allowed it to be so. And then he says, and it yielded no fruit. The idea was that the seed of the Word of God was to land in our heart and prosper us and grow us and move us toward being fruit bearers. You see, fruit bearers. And then Jesus said in chapter 4, look at verses 18 and 19, the same chapter, Jesus said this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And he explains it. Listen to what he said. Jesus said it in verse 19. And the cares of this world. Now, such as hear the word, those that hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, suffocate the Word of God in your spirit and in your life to keep you from going on into depth and grow spiritually and being fruit-bearing. That's what happens in the cares of this life, he says, and the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, entering in, choke the Word, and it becometh, Jesus said this, it becometh unfruitful. Now, please stay with me here. Stay with me. This is real important because right now I'm moving to what I call is the real meat of this message this morning. Stay with me on that. Now, read again with me Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And that's the title of our message today. One thing I do, Paul was talking about. That's why I titled it, One Thing I Do. What did Paul say, that one thing I do? He said, this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I want to just stop for a minute and say that most of us have a reasonable memory. Most of us have a reasonable memory. I'm convinced Pastor has a great memory. He really does. I'm amazed. Well, he says he doesn't, but I'm amazed at how he rolls off different things he does. And I kind of stand sometimes on the sideline saying that, man, he's got a good memory. And I say, and so I see that, but no, we really shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we should. And I say to you, my memory's lacking in so many things. But I want to tell you, I've got a brother, and I'm going to pass this by real quick, but I've got a brother that, bless his heart, in his younger days, he was tormented and twisted in living in an environment with my mother because she had so many mental problems. And he grew up right in the midst of that. I saw it stay with him as he got older. My mother eventually took her own life, and all of us were just torn up about that. But the thing that tears me up about that is, I mean, she wasn't in her right mind, and I know that, and I leave all of the outcome of that in the hands of Jesus. But I'm talking about my brother and how those things latched onto him, some things she did. He even was taken by her to Rome, Italy, and you know what she was going to do in Rome, Italy? She was going to have an audience with the Pope and bring peace to the world. And that's why she went over there. And she was every bit intent on doing that. But all of that being said, I just wanted you to know the lowness that she was and the hardship she had and the things she sank into. But the influence on my brother was so great on so many levels that to this day, he's a man that's in his 50s, to this day, what he does, it seems continually, he just wants to rewind and replay. What does he want to rewind and replay? Most everything about my mother and what happened as he was growing up that was tormenting to him. And he doesn't even realize. He's been told. I've told him that. Danny, don't rewind and replay those things all the time. Because what you're doing is you're giving place to the turmoil over and over and over again in your life, and you're opening doors to those things that you shouldn't. Now listen to this. Paul says this. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And the truth of it is, our mistakes have a history. They do. And so what you can do, you can sit and think about your mistakes of the past and go through that history, and before long in your mind you're right back there where you were. And you need to know that those kinds of thoughts will take you to a dark place, and God's children have no business going to those dark places. We need to rise above those things. And I'll tell you this, Paul said it well. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Doesn't that sound like a runner? I kind of thought a runner in a relay, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm there waiting for that carrier of the baton to come and slip it into my hand so I can go forward to go to those things which are before. I don't run to the behind. I run to the before. And I'll tell you, God's people need to run to the before, because it's what's ahead. It's what lies ahead. It's our focus in the race on heaven. It's the fact if we focus on that, we'll get there. Praise God, we'll get there. We'll get there. And so, we realize our mistakes are of the past. And the answer to that is clearly forgetting those things which are behind. Brother Danny, quit replaying, rewinding, replaying. Quit rewinding, replaying. They're in your mind, but you have to give them to God, and he's been told that. But it's so deeply embedded in his life, and some of us have those mistakes we've made so deeply ingrained and embedded in our life, we cannot seem to turn loose of them. Our mistakes of the past, the history they have, it makes it hard. Now, Paul was enabled in so much history. He was involved in so much history that was about persecution of others. And I want to share a couple of things with you real quick, and I'm moving toward closing. But so many things. Acts chapter 22, verse 4. Notice what Paul said. Acts 22, 4. Paul, speaking of himself, said, "And I persecuted this way unto the death. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women." In his past, he was binding and delivering into prison. He was a persecutor of those that said they love God. And he was so involved in that. Now, this one is the one I really want you to see. In Acts chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, and notice what Paul says here. Acts 22, verses 19 and 20. And I said, Lord, now this is Paul speaking, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue. Now he did. He was going from synagogue to synagogue, imprisoning and beating people. That's the kind of man he was. And when they knew he was around, I'll tell you, they hid out because they didn't want to be caught in this kind of a circumstance. Many didn't. But anyway, he says, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Now he's talking to God. Them that believed on thee, O Lord, I did these terrible things. They're in my memory. They're in my memory. Now notice what he says. This is the one, verse 20, I want you to see. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, now where, he was right there, was shed He said this, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. He was a party to it. He was a murderer. He was a party to Stephen and his martyrdom and what was going on. What did he do? He says, and kept the raiment, kept the coats, kept the clothing of them that slew him. Now, how deeply that must have been ingrained in his mind, in his life, and how many times as he was going forward and serving the Lord, and even in this race, he talks about how many times an opportunity would come to him to rewind and replay, and think about it all over again, and then to give opportunity to the old devil to stick his ugly head up and tell him, look what you've done. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And when you replay thoughts like that in your mind of past mistakes, of past failures, and you go over them and over them again and again and hold on to them in your thinking, you are giving the devil an opportunity to accuse you of these things all over again. But what you need to be doing is reminding him, he that is the accuser, that, hey, these things are under the blood of Jesus. I've been forgiven of these things. And so I will tell you right here that the Apostle Paul, without a doubt, wanted to forget everything about those past things. Now, he said, forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. Why? Because those are the things that can torment you. Now, let me say this to you as I move toward closing. We're 12 days, right now, we're 12 days in the new year. And I ask you, have you been able to move on from 2019? Or did you bring a lot of past things with you into 2020? Have you been able to move on from them, or did you bring them with you? Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What was he forgetting? He was forgetting all those past things that he had done. And you need to know the past things that you have done, even the things as recent as 2019, they are there and they have to stay behind, and you're moving forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say this. Forgetting those things, what does that really mean? It means that you treat those things with inattention and disregard. You can't forget them. Some things have happened, you can't forget. You don't have to think on them. But you need to treat them with inattention. Don't give attention to them and don't regard them. And I want to tell you that looking back can be very dangerous. And so what you need to do is give the Lord your attention and your mistakes. And I want to share one last scripture just for a moment. And then I have a few more comments before Brother Phil comes and leads us in higher ground. In Luke chapter 9:62, and I know I'm about out of time, but I cannot help but share this scripture with you. Luke 9:62. Jesus said it, as a matter of fact. He said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man putting his hand to the plow and is looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what. You put your hand to the plow and you're trying to get that plow to go down a straight row. And then you look and you think, well, I wonder what's back behind. And there the horse or the ox is pulling the plow. And you look back and you're not on a straight row anymore. You're off over in the field. Now, I'll tell you, you can't go forward by looking back and holding on things of the past. I challenge you this morning as I close to look forward. Forget those things behind. Give it all to Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to come and give Him an opportunity with your life. There are things you can get rid of if you'll just come and give them to Him. Pastor Phil.
Let's all stand. We're going to offer a